Well, we're certainly glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. It is Wednesday. It's January 4th. Wow, we're just marching along right into this new year, 2012. And I'm thinking that music, we're glad you're here. That initial beat, I don't know if many of you are familiar with that NFL commercial where they're all on the school bus going to some activity and everyone's bobbing their head to this special NBA music. And I think it's a fitness program where they want everyone to exercise for like an hour or so every day, but their heads are all bopping and they're all moving to the music. Well, that typically happens here in the studio, and when I've had various guests in, they're all bopping their heads and I'm like, oh yes, we're glad you're here. And well, we're certainly glad you're here. And I don't know, some of you might be logged on to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and are listening to the stream of this morning program. I know my father-in-law, Harry Geyer, has been testing it out, and my brother Stu and Mom out in Arizona, and we're trying to get the word out that if you go to greatnewsradio.org and click on the streaming page, you can literally listen to live broadcasts of WGNN or WGNJ. And we have a special, what we call it, a high band speed. If you have high speed internet, you can get a really clean, clear, strong signal. And if you want to do it on your iPhone or Droid phone or all those other different gadgets that you can get internet, but you need a slower rate of speed, we have a low band rate, like a 32K. And so hopefully if you're tuned in and you're listening to the streaming audio, let us know. And it's not cheap to do that. We pay about it'll be about $1,000 a year to have the bandwidth. And then we have to pay, oh, I don't know, some government agency that regulates all this. And that's about another $1,000. So if you want to donate towards the streaming audio project that literally allows our broadcast to go around the world and be accessible in businesses, you know, if you're working at the University of Illinois, you know, the basement of the engineering building, and you can't pick up one of our frequencies, you can listen online. So I know a number of people have requested this over the years, so financially support it so we can reach more people all around the world. There's a guy in Chicagoland, and I don't know, he said he just prefers our music mix on 89.3 FM. So he had emailed me about a week ago, when are we going to be on again? So I'm going to send out a little link to a number of our listeners saying, log on. It's streaming live and it's all working. So
nice.
So if you want to get financially involved in the streaming project or supporting this 100% listener supported station, you can give us a call. We can take a gift through your credit card, Visa, MasterCard, or we do online automatic deposits if we know your account numbers, or you can just mail in a donation. But our phone number is 217-367-7777. And maybe you're listening on the streaming audio somewhere around the country. Well, we have an 800 number for you or for our great Indiana listeners. That's 1-888-333-9466. If you want to mail in a donation, and now would be a great time to start that habit to become a regular monthly giver. You can start that today by writing us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Well, Jason, that's all the time we have today. I know you prepared some remarks about this new year and such, but kidding aside, I was blessed by some of the things you shared this past Sunday during the service. And one was just the unique way, like the Hebrew mind, when Scripture has been penned and inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Jewish mind, the Hebrew mindset, oftentimes will look at the Scripture and, I guess, draw various conclusions, if you will, or recognize there are different methods of, I don't know if you'd say interpreting, but understanding or having greater clarity. And that's the first time I had ever heard like four different ways that they would interpret or understand what's being said or spoken. So I thought that would be a good thing as many of our listeners are starting that practice of going through the Scriptures, reading daily, and hopefully many of you will be reading through the Scriptures this year or have that as a habit each and every morning. At least read some Scripture. If it's too challenging for you to get through the whole Bible in a year, hey, okay, don't worry about it. Take the pressure off. Just read a verse or two, or spend 5 or 10 minutes reading Scripture each and every day.
There's a couple ways to read the Hebrew, but let me start out by saying something else real quick, and I just want to kind of leap onto something you were talking about there, Mark. This year is a great year to begin reading your Bible. There are a number of special Bibles you can buy, like Read a Day Through the Year. There's chronological Bibles. There are reading plans online. There are reading plans that you can purchase. There are all different kinds of methods in which you can begin to engage the Bible. And anybody who knows me knows that I read a lot of books. If you come inside my office, there is a wall of books, and I'm reading books all the time. I read read about 3 books, maybe 4 a week, depending on what the week is like and what the books are like. But I read a lot of books. So every time I meet people or every time I come in contact with people who know me, they say, hey, what are you reading? What are you reading? You know, because they want to know, especially at this time of the year, because a lot of my friends are assembling their 2012 reading lists. And they're saying, well, what did you read? What was the great book last year? What was the book that you read? And I'm starting to get slightly irritated because I want us to reclaim getting excited about reading the Bible. In fact, this year I've only decided I'm going to read 10 books, which for me, that's, you know, you're reading 3 a week. I mean, 10 is not that much. Now, I'll get some free ones. Some people give me books throughout the year, and I'll probably read them, or they'll suggest something, and I'll pick it up because I want to kind of hear what's going on. Or maybe there's an evangelical issue that'll come on. Like last year, Rob Bell wrote the book Love Wins about hell, and I read that book, and it wasn't on my reading list because I wanted to be able to engage the conversation with teenagers and college kids who are wrestling down what this means. But in 2012, what I really want is I want us to drive a stake in the ground and get excited about reading the Bible. Now, at our church specifically, you can go to communityfreechurch.com, and there we'll have the reading list, and we're going to put it up every week for that week. You can also, if I think a couple more days, you can order a chronological Bible from us, normally $19.99. They're only $9.49 right now. And then we also have an email newsletter if you're on our email list that we send out so that you can get the readings every week. And the deal is that we want to equip people to be able to start having this conversation with the only book that can change your life, the only book that can make you new, that can make you whole, the only thing that carries the promise, the eternal promise of God. And I want us to get excited about that. I joked, I think, in the Sunday morning service that people said to me last year, you know, one of the big books was Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love. And they said, hey, did you read Crazy Love? And of course I did read it. But I said, yeah, I did. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, God is love. I mean, that's crazy because in light of all of our sin, God still loves us and has the grace to forgive us. And I want us to get excited about that first. Not get excited because Francis Chan says that we can have some crazy love, but get excited because God is crazy in love with us.
I have had a practice of reading through the scriptures many, many times and for many, many years, but I've had some individuals, friends say, you know, Mark, it's just really dry, or it doesn't speak to me that clearly, or it's not that meaningful. What would you say to them? Hey, keep at it, or ask God to make it living and active in your life? Or is it one of these things like, well, I don't do it? Well, it's because you don't do it because it's not a priority in your life. Do you like food? Yes. Do you eat? Yes. Well, can you look at the scriptures as being like something that you can't go without? I mean, sometimes we do the things we want to do that are exciting to us or that are of interest. We find the time. You know, if it's watching the basketball games or whatever, we find the time. And that's because we put a priority on it or we value it. But what would you say to that individual that's just like, well, ho-hum, yeah.
How blunt do you want me to be?
Yeah.
I think it's a both and. I don't think it's just an or, like, is it this, is it this, is it this? I think it's all of it. Somebody came up to me a number of weeks ago and they said, you know, we really have got to try and engage the youth. I mean, this next generation in the church, it's really a tough generation to reach. You know, I just don't think that they're passionate. I don't think that they, I think that, and I go, no, wait. They know all the words to those rap songs. They know all the words to movies like Dumb and Dumb. I mean, they memorize these things. They have passion. The problem is we're just not directing that passion. And I think it's the same thing for people, you know, who say, well, there's just no time for me to read the Bible. You're just not directing your passion is the problem, because you've got a passion and it's something else. Somebody said to me, wow, it was probably maybe last year. They said, if you want to find the idol, either follow the money, follow the passion, or find out what doesn't make you laugh. And those are generally going to be the thing that is the idol in your life. And I think for some people, you know, maybe the idol is watching a certain TV show or doing, you know, and we forget that, hey, we need to be in God's Word. Now, that said, when somebody says, hey, it's dry and it's not engaging and I really have a lot of trouble with that, my first question would be, well, you're reading it alone, aren't you? Because that's probably what's happening. If you read it together, like in our house, we got our chronological Bible and we pull it out and we read it as a family. You know, we get the kids, and the kids in some parts I think are bored to death, but, you know, they're hearing it. But like last night, my son, who's 6 years old, he's looking at the chronological Bible as we're reading it, and he starts to read words. And we look, we're like, you're reading the Bible. And then all of a sudden his eyes lit up, and he goes, I'm reading the Bible. And now he's excited about the idea that he can read the Bible. And then we pick certain things out. I think on Sunday I said that, you know, in Genesis it says that it's talking about the rivers in the Garden of Eden, and it says that there's this river in the land of Havilah, the land of gold. And there's a Jewish treat that's made with almonds and rose water and that, and it's got a ribbon of chocolate in it, and it's called Havilah. And so I wonder, and I don't have any kind of scholarly background in this, but I wonder if somebody ate it later on when they first made it and they go, this tastes like gold. This is like the land of Havilah from Genesis. It must have come from there. And there's different things. I mean, in Genesis chapter 3, you know, the serpent says to Eve, eat of the tree so you can see things like God sees it. And I'm paraphrasing here. And Eve says, well, God told me not to eat from it and not to touch it. And so then you go, you know, as a family, we kind of stopped. And my wife goes, well, what do you think that means? And I go, well, a lot of scholars think that's the first mention of religion where we're adding something to what God has already said. So as you read it with somebody else, there's kind of this push and pull that's happening because somebody's seeing something, and hopefully you're in a relationship or a discussion where they're open enough to be able to talk about it with you or say, hey, what do you think about this? But most people who tell me the Bible is dry, I say, well, you're reading it alone. And and I would say probably 90% of the time I'm correct. They're just sitting in their house. They're reading it alone. You need to read it with somebody. You need to wrestle it. You need to engage it. I mean, the Jews for thousands and thousands and thousands of years gather together, wrestle, argue, and debate Scripture. And they do it because that's what God has commanded. God wrestled Jacob at Bethel. Well, he wrestled down some truth for Jacob at Bethel. Mm-hmm. And maybe we ought to get together and wrestle down some truth together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm also thinking maybe if it's dry, they're not praying, Lord, allow this to be right. Your holy word, living and active. Or they're not valuing it as inspired Scripture penned by God. It's like, well, it's just wonderful literature, or it's that best-selling book, so I bought a copy and I just want to have it to read it on occasion, not realizing that this is God's holy, inspired, inerrant word. And I think that's something that I learned as a child. So maybe the reason why I have always gravitated towards wanting to read it is because I learned early on, pray that Holy Spirit enlighten my mind and heart, help me understand truth, and help it be lived out through my day, through my actions. Not that I've been perfect. I've sinned and fallen short, but I've always looked at it as God's holy word, his love letter to me. And maybe that could be one of the reasons it's dry, because you're not looking at it as as God's holy word that's living and active. And it reveals truth. It reveals God's plan. It's his playbook, if you will, for us. It's his love letter. It's his redemptive message. I mean, it contains illustrations and examples that are true to life. People cry out. The Psalms are filled with people in agony, questioning God, wrestling with God. I mean, it's not just like this fairy tale where everything just works out perfectly. I mean, there's sin in there. It reveals David's sin. It reveals shortcomings. I mean, we can identify with so much of it. And then it has truth and the wisdom and the Proverbs. And it's just like the best thing that any of us can go to. And then the fact that God breathes life into it, very personalized sometimes to us. I mean, where he can speak a message into my heart, and that same passage can speak a different message to your heart.
Right.
And so, everyone, please, come on, let us get you excited about reading God's word this year.
You know, and I just want people to look at, this is good news. You know, it's the gospel, it's the evangelion, it's the good news. It's not good advice. And that's one of the things I think I may have even talked about on Sunday, because Sunday always is kind of a blur to me. In this culture that we have right now, I mean, people are making New Year's resolutions. And they're looking for great advice on how they can balance their budget, raise better kids, how they can plan their days and weeks better, how they can lose weight. And everybody's concentrating on all these problems. And they're going, you know, they're fixating on it. Instead of fixating, and then they're in turn looking for good advice into how to engage the problem, instead of going to the one book, falling back in love with the one book that is not good advice, it's not a trend, it's not a brand, it's not here today and gone tomorrow, it's here the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. It's the Bible, it's the good news, not good advice, and it's life-changing. You know, there is not anything that you're going through that the Bible, that the people of the Bible have not walked through and dealt with. There is not any problems that you have that they didn't engage and that God didn't speak wisdom, life, breath, divinity into and reconcile. And so, you know, people would say, well, you know, you don't know where I've been. I mean, I can't be forgiven. Well, you know what? What you've just now done is elevated your forgiveness above God's promise, because in the Bible over and over again, it says from God, I forgive you. You are forgiven. I don't know how many times it says that, but if you did a word search, I think you'd probably be shocked at how many times it says you are forgiven. And yet people come to me and they say, I can't be forgiven. Really, I think you need to reengage what it means to follow God, because you are forgiven. You know, you've just elevated your own personal view higher than that. You've dumbed God's word down into good advice. And it's not good advice. It's good news.
And I think you are also sharing how oftentimes we focus on the problem instead of the truth or, like you said, God's advice. And so we don't focus on, okay, I got to lose 10 pounds. So we focus on, okay, how do I lose 10 pounds? Or how do I learn to love my wife better? You kind of said, wait a minute, learn to love God better. Learn to see what he wants you to learn by loving him, and then he's going to reveal how to love your wife properly or how to lose the weight because your body is his holy temple and he cares right. about your body.
Look, the problem is not, and we could go off on a huge tangent here, the problem is not that you need to lose 5 pounds. The problem is what drives you that you gained 5 pounds? Is it unforgiveness? Is it unhappiness? Is it a feeling of guilt that you're having? Is it where you're going and you're making food the idol when you could be making your family the thing that you come and you pour your heart into? Is there a conversation that you need to have that you're having with a cheeseburger instead? I mean, truthfully, they say that there really is only on the underside of all these things that we deal with, all these kind of bigger problems. You know, my budget's out of control, my weight's out of control. They say that there's really only a few drivers in that. It's unforgiveness, it's guilt, it's not understanding that you are loved. And it's forgiveness. It's these things that kind of drive underneath there that are the things you really need to deal with. Those are the roots of the problem. But we want good advice, which, you know what I'm telling you what? In terms of using a garden metaphor, good advice just tills the soil. It doesn't turn the roots. Mm-hmm. And so the roots are still there. You could lose 5 pounds through good advice this year, but you probably might gain it back next year because you're going to go back to that cheeseburger and try and have a conversation that you really need to have with your mom, your dad, your kids, your spouse. Maybe, first and foremost, a conversation you need to have with God. So,
yeah, I just think it's just so important that instead of turning toward the advice or whatever, the New Year's resolutions, you turn to God, you establish that relationship with him, you soak in the love, the care, the compassion, the desire that he has to work in and through you, and then all those other things, you know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you, or you'll learn to deal with them, or you'll be able to have the self-control, because God will give that to you, those gifts of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. And then we can, because of God's strength and his involvement in our lives, we can conquer or be successful because we're first and foremost right with him. So,
yeah, there was a story I told on Sunday. It says there was an old Jewish rabbi who walked along the same road every day from temple to his home. And one day, being really deep in thought about the events of the day, he missed his usual turn. And he found himself at a city gate he was unfamiliar with. And this guard yelled down from the gate. He says, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" He says, startled by this voice, the rabbi looked up and asked, "Well, who are you?" And the guard explained he was the guard for the king and then demanded an answer once again, except now louder. He says, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" Just doing his guard thing. And it says, instead of giving an answer, the rabbi looked quizzically and he asked, "How much do you get paid each day to stand there and ask those questions to people who pass by?" And the guard, who was bothered by the rabbi's odd question, explained to him what his wages were. And the rabbi then told the guard, "I will double your wages if you come and stand outside my house and ask me each one of those questions every day when I step outside." And just as Mark was saying, that guard that the rabbi hires to stand outside of his house and say, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" Jesus says in John, "I'm going to send you the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth." And God has sent the Holy Spirit who asks us that question every day. But we have to understand that the Spirit is a gentleman. And the Spirit is not going to ask, he's not going to be doing that to those of us who aren't listening or those of us who are turned the other way. So we got to start by turning our heart towards God, engaging God's words, which is illuminated by the Holy Spirit, penned by God, the author himself, through the Holy Spirit, through a man's hands who had his heart open to God, and begin to hear those questions. I mean, what a great way to enter into the new year by hearing the words, the voice of the Spirit saying, "Who are you?" "I'm a child of God." "And what are you doing here?" "Well, I'm proclaiming the gospel by the way I live, by the things I say, by the way I raise my kids, by the way I manage my money, by the way I keep my body a holy temple, by the way I do all of these things." So what a wonderful way to go into the new year. You know what? That's not a New Year's resolution. That's not what I like to call the New Year's disillusion. But what that really is that's good news. And what if every year, instead of just saying, well, I'm going to make some resolution that, you know, in 7 days I'm going to forget about or blow, every year I'm going to reaffirm that my job is to proclaim the gospel, that my job is to bring the gospel, and that I stand upon the gospel.
Yeah, and I like that, who are you, or whose are you?
Yeah.
I'm a child of the King. You know, Listener, listening friend, you have been created in God's image. You have value. You have purpose. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent his only begotten Son so that we can have an eternal relationship with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who we just recently celebrated his birth and will someday celebrate his return. But we can live in that knowledge, in that truth, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And it's coming to that faith knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ that who we are becomes whose we are. We're children of Almighty God. And then we can live out day to day knowing that we're loved, that we're cared for, that he desires to work in and through us. Then we can have meaningful kingdom purpose. And that's why we're here, to spread that good news message that God loves the world, that God loves you. If you're tuned in today and you leave not knowing that God loves you, hey, we failed, Jason, because that's a truth that God wants all to know, and that's that good news message that God loves you. So
yeah, let me add this last bit here. I talked about it last week. I said there's three types of things that Christians do. They're either embracing, assuming, or forgetting. They're embracing, carrying, proclaiming the gospel. They're assuming, well, I'm a Christian. I went to church on Sunday, checked the box, I'm good to go. Or they've forgotten. They said, well, you know, God just can't forgive me. And I want you to understand that Jesus forgave as he went along. Jesus forgave in the garden. He forgave even at the cross. He forgave after the cross to those people who denied him. And today, even today, Jesus forgives you. So this choice that you have as you step into 2012 is that you can embrace it, you can assume it, or you can forget it. And my friends, I'm telling you right now that Jesus wants to embrace you. He wants you to embrace him with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole being, and go and share, proclaim the good news. It'll be life-changing for you in 2012.
And all God's people said, amen. Well, SR News is beckoning at the doorway, so we got to go. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.